My text this morning is the last part of the last verse of 1 Peter 2. These words, "But are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." The subject of this chapter and of this section of this chapter is not office bearers. Either the qualifications for office bearers or the work to which office bearers are called. Neither is it the apostle's purpose to give instruction in this aspect of the life of the church, the work of the special offices. Instead, in this section of 1 Peter chapter 2, the apostle is calling the people of God to follow after Christ in the sufferings that they are called to endure in this life. He calls attention to the sufferings of Christ and then calls the people of God patiently to endure their sufferings, imitating our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, in this section in which the apostle holds up our Lord Jesus Christ as an example that we believers must follow, he mentions the fact that the Christ whose example we are to follow is the Christ who is the shepherd and the bishop of our souls. That provides solid instruction in the truth concerning the special offices in the church. The mention of Christ as the shepherd and the bishop of our souls. By the word bishop, the apostle is referring to Jesus Christ as an elder. That word bishop is one of two words used by the Holy Spirit in the New Testament to refer to the office of elder. It is the same word that he uses, for example, in the first verse of 1 Timothy chapter 3, where he is talking about the qualifications for office bearers and says, "This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop, then, must be blameless, the husband of one wife," and the other qualifications for the elder in the church. Later on, in this same epistle, in chapter 5 and verse 2, the apostle uses a form of the very same word that he uses in our text, bishop. In 1 Peter 5, verse 2, he says, "To the elders," that's the first verse of the chapter, "the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder." He says in verse 2, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof." Taking the oversight is really the same word that the apostle uses under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in our text this morning. Do the part of a bishop. That's what it means to take the oversight thereof. The teaching of the apostle in our text is that Jesus Christ is the shepherd, and Jesus Christ is the bishop or elder in the church. He is the office bearer. This is the most fundamental truth that there is with regard to the special offices in the church. Everything else about church office, everything else about the duties of the office bearers, and I include here the deacons. For although clearly there is a distinction of office between the elder and the deacon, the fact of the matter is that the same Christ calls these men, and to both the elder and to the deacon, Christ gives authority in his church. Much of what the apostle has to say by implication concerning the bishop or the elder applies, therefore, also to the deacons in the church. This statement, then, is fundamental to all our understanding of office bearing in the church of Christ, that Jesus Christ is the shepherd and the bishop of the souls of his people. I call your attention to the text this morning under the theme, the nature of church office. The nature of church office. I direct your attention to two things. First of all, that the nature of church office is that it is an extension of Christ's office. An extension of Christ's office. And secondly, that it involves being a shepherd and a bishop. Christ is the office bearer in the church of God. Fundamentally, there is one and only one office bearer in the church of Christ, and that one office bearer is Christ. He is the shepherd, and he is the bishop in the church. There is no office in the church higher than Christ's office. There is no office bearer in the church who exercises authority independent of the authority of Jesus Christ. Christ's office is the highest office. Christ's office is ultimately the only office that there is in the church, because he is the shepherd and the bishop of our souls. Certainly, this is not to deny the legitimate and the necessary place that the special offices have in the church. This is not to dismiss the special offices as unnecessary or, at best, something extra, a plus that the church may avail herself of. Not at all. This is the direction that some have gone in, to dismiss the need for the special offices in the church. At the time of the Reformation, this was the direction that the Anabaptists went in. And there are those today who follow this same line. There are no special offices, but there are only those who may be called upon from time to time to do special work in these groups or gatherings of believers. But there are not permanent office holders, whether pastors or elders or deacons. Clearly, this is to take the teaching of the text and the teaching of the New Testament in a wrong direction, to misunderstand and to misapply the teaching of the New Testament scriptures. Christ has ordained special offices in the church, and it is the will of Christ that there be in every congregation of believers those who hold special office. Nevertheless, this does underscore that the special offices in the church are really only an extension of the office of Christ, really only the earthly manifestation in the local congregation of the office, the preeminent office of Jesus Christ. The special offices are the type, the faint type, the picture, the temporary representation of Christ's permanent office. For Christ's office, Christ, who is the shepherd and the bishop of our souls, Christ's office is an eternal office. That points out to the superiority of Christ's office in comparison to the special offices in the local congregation. For office bearers in the local congregation are only office bearers for a time, for a term of 2 or 3 years, and at most for the better part of their adult life. But even then, their office is not permanent, but their holding office is only for a time. Christ is the only permanent office bearer. His office is the only eternal office in the church. This teaching of the text that Christ is the office bearer in the church opposes Roman Catholic teaching concerning office bearing, and particularly opposes the Roman Catholic Church's teaching concerning the papacy. It is the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church that at the head of the church on earth, at the head of all local churches, is the Pope, who is the personal successor of the apostles and the unique representative. They call him the vicar of Jesus Christ on earth. He, says Rome, is the shepherd and the bishop of all the souls of all God's people at any one time throughout all the world. Supreme authority is invested in him. The most extravagant claims are made for him, and the most outrageous honors are paid to him, honors that are due only to Christ. This teaching of Rome regarding the papacy flies in the face of the apostles' clear teaching in our text. There is only one head of the church on earth, of all the churches, true churches of Jesus Christ on earth. That one head of the church is the shepherd and the bishop of the souls of God's people, Jesus Christ. He possesses authority in the church over all God's people, and he is the one alone who deserves supreme honor. If Jesus Christ is the office bearer in the New Testament church, the shepherd and the bishop of the souls of God's people, several truths follow. First of all, if Christ is the office bearer in the church, these office bearers are sent by Christ. Christ has called you. Christ has sent you. Christ will qualify you. Christ will do his work through you in this his church. For he alone is the shepherd and the bishop of the souls of these believers. That means that no man has the right ever to presume office to himself, to intrude himself into the office. It means also that when a man has been lawfully called, duly elected, properly installed and ordained into office, Christ has called him, and Christ sends him. That's the significance of it, practically, that Christ is the shepherd and the bishop in this congregation. In the second place, if Christ is the office bearer in the church, then these office bearers represent him, must represent him, are called to represent him. They are the official representatives of Jesus Christ. They possess and they exercise the authority of Christ, the authority that Christ has invested in them. That's important. That's important for us to understand. That's important for the office bearers themselves to understand. You do not come in your own authority. You may never throw your weight around in the church. All the authority that you are called to exercise, all the authority that you have been given, has been given to you by Jesus Christ, the shepherd and bishop in this congregation. But that's also important for the members of the church to keep in mind that the office bearers are Christ's representatives, that the one who is the shepherd and the bishop here is pleased to use these men as his representatives. You must look past their person and personality. You must see in the office, in their work, in their offices. Parents, impress this upon your children. Young people, be impressed with that this morning. You must see past their persons and personalities, and you must see Jesus Christ in them, behind them, sending them Jesus Christ, who is the shepherd and bishop. In the third place, if Jesus Christ is the office bearer in the church of God, then we office bearers must labor in conscious dependence upon him. That too we need to be reminded of this morning. If Christ doesn't preach, the preaching is going to fall to the ground, and the preaching will be ineffective in the salvation and preservation in salvation of the souls of God's people. If Christ does not rule, does not exercise the oversight and government in the congregation, then the work of the elders is going to be ineffective and counterproductive. And if Christ does not show mercy, the compassionate high priest distributing, ministering to the needs of his people, then the work of the deacons is going to be ineffective. And though the poor may have their earthly needs met, the care of their souls is going to be lacking. We office bearers must do our work in the church, conscious of it, that not we, but Christ is the shepherd and the bishop of the souls of his people. We must depend upon him. We must look to him. We must pray earnestly that from him we will be given the grace and strength needed to do our work in the offices. In the fourth place, if Jesus Christ is the office bearer in the church, then we must pattern our work in the office, our conduct as office bearers, after him. his conduct in the office, his work as the office bearer in the church, the manner in which he carries out his work is to be a model to us office bearers. Let us make just one application of that this morning. Any number of possibilities, but just one application. His selfless work in the office. Christ's expending of himself on behalf of the needs of the people of God, for the sake of God's people, enduring every hardship, sacrificing of himself, in the end, laying down his life as the office bearer of God's people. That's what we must do. That must characterize our labors as office bearers in the church. As Christ expended himself, gave himself, laid down his life even on behalf of the people of God, so must we. And finally, if Christ is the office bearer in the church, it follows that office bearers are accountable to him. That too, we must answer one day to him, since he is the shepherd and the bishop of the souls of God's people. The apostle comes back to that and makes that application in the 5th chapter, verse 4. And when the chief shepherd, that's exactly what he's teaching about Christ in our text, that he is the shepherd means that he is the chief shepherd. But when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive the crown of glory that fadeth not away. We are answerable to him. We must never forget that. We're not answerable to ourselves. We're not answerable even to the rest of the consistory. We're not answerable to the congregation. We're answerable to him. Now and in the judgment, because he is the shepherd and the bishop of the souls of his people. That's what he is. That's how he describes his office and his work as an office bearer. Shepherd and bishop. Those two terms that he uses in the text refer to especially the two aspects of the work of the elder in the church. He is both a shepherd and at the same time a bishop. In the first place, the elders are the shepherds of God's people. They are called to feed the flock of God which is among you. That's their first duty. That's essential to the life, the prosperity, and the blessing of the congregation. They must be fed. And the elders are to see to it that they are being fed. Fed with God's word. Fed in the pasture of that word in such a way that their faith is nourished, that they grow in grace, that all of the essential spiritual qualities are manifest in their lives. the patience, for example, in the face of suffering that this chapter speaks so much of. All of these belong to the feeding of the congregation. That, of course, with which they are to be fed is the Word, only the Word. This is the spiritual food that they are in need of. And that comes out in the passage. For Jesus Christ is the shepherd and the bishop of your souls, he says. Your souls. That means that it is the Word of God, the spiritual food of the Word of God that God's people stand in need of. That's the nourishment for souls that the people of God need, all the people of God need, not just the older members of the church, but the young people, the married couples, the children, the teenagers. We all alike stand in need of the nourishment of the Word of God. What that Word of God is centrally, the apostle has explained in the preceding verses. It's Christ crucified, the Son of God, who gave himself as the sacrifice for our sins. In all of their labors now, the office bearers must bring to God's people the Word of God. Not only the minister from the pulpit on the Lord's Day, twice each Lord's Day, yes, to be sure, but also the elders in their work and also the deacons in their work. We are all alike called to fundamentally the same work, the bringing of the Word of God to the needs of God's people. In the second place, the office bearers must rule God's people, direct their lives, supervise their walk in the midst of an evil world. The government of God's people is the calling of the office bearers. They mustn't shirk that calling. Certainly, they mustn't abuse that calling, but they must take that calling seriously. That's what is involved in their being bishops. Oversight. They are the overseers of God's people. That duty is stressed in the form of ordination of elders and deacons. That oversight includes the confession of God's people as well as the walk of God's people. What they say as well as how they live. That oversight extends especially to the wayward. That's the foreground of the text that's emphasized in the passage. For you see, that was true of the labors of the great office bearer, the shepherd and the bishop of our souls. He laid down his life for the wayward, those out of the way. And that must be true of office bearers in God's church today. There's a shameful neglect of what is the central calling of office bearers in the church today. They've become the board of directors. They oversee the physical and financial and social aspects of the life of the congregation to the neglect of the spiritual oversight, the souls of God's people, especially the hard work of bringing the word, admonition, and instruction to those who are walking in ways of sin, impenitence in sin. This ruling of God's people includes the protection of the flock from the many enemies, the exercise of Christian discipline within the congregation, and warning against false teachers and false teachings that threaten the congregation have as their purpose the protection of God's people from these spiritual enemies. This is the work of those who are under shepherds and who are bishops on behalf of the shepherd and the bishop. There is a negative side to the work of office bearers. They see to it that false doctrine and immorality are kept out of the congregation. They see to it that the Lord's table is not profaned, that baptism is not profaned. They see to it that the congregation not only walks positively in the way of holiness, but that those who walk contrary to that way are disciplined, and if they remain impenitent, are excluded from the congregation. This is the work of shepherds and bishops. Bad rule by the elders invariably results in the congregation being overrun by the spiritual enemies of God's people, those who have designs on the destruction of the souls of God's people. Allowing the sacraments to be profane, allowing impenitent sinners to go on living in the fellowship of the congregation, invariably has that result. Brother office bearers, you have promised before God and before His church this morning that you will discharge the duties of your offices. Do that. Do that by the grace of God. Do that in dependence upon God. Do that for the good and the salvation of the souls of God's people entrusted to your care. Do that after the pattern of the great office bearer in the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the shepherd and the bishop in the church. Do that as those who one day will give account unto Him who is the shepherd and the bishop of the souls of God's people. Amen. Father in heaven, bless thy word unto our hearts as we have heard it this morning. Grant, heavenly Father, that we gladly receive it, obediently walk according to it, applying it to our lives and to our calling in the world. We pray, Heavenly Father, bless the brothers who are called to represent the great office bearer of the church, and through their selfless labors, in dependence upon Christ, may the souls of God's people in this place be preserved for His glory and their salvation. Amen.